There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
So the 15-minute condensed version is all that you... That's all that you need is a high-powered analyst such as yourself.
Right. Well, no, but I watched the whole game the next morning anyway.
Okay.
If I wake up in time. But I've watched both these games beginning to end, so...
Well, aren't you First fancy?
Time. I know. I'm very proud of myself showing off. I did forget to take notes, though, so...
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jerry Bass with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is November 29th, 2015, and this is episode 140. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about games against Washington and Chicago, plus surprising news from Kobe Bryant. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Good to have everybody back. Quick shout out to the Xavier Musketeers, men's basketball team, the current reigning AdvoCare Invitational Champions. That's right. And to make it even sweeter, we took down Dayton by 29 points in the championship game. Screw you, Dayton. Go Xavier. That team actually is really freaking good this year, guys. Watch out.
Xavier?
Yeah.
Rock
undefeated.
We're going with Dayton.
Yeah. We annihilated a really good Dayton team.
Well, you got to pile on Dayton.
Granted, Dayton sucks, just in general. But they were in the Sweet 16 last year in the tournament, so.
Nice.
And to annihilate them by 30 in a championship game? Come on. That's Warrior stuff.
Let's go Xavier.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles. John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? No shout-outs this week. Just happy to be here.
Pretty sure you want a shout-out to Bright House.
But at Bright House Care, not hashtag Bright House Care.
You've no
That's
idea
right, right? Is. That's how it works, right?
Yep. He's learning.
He's learning. Company from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? Thought I'd give a shout-out to Steph Curry this week. He's not getting enough attention in the media. But I thought it was hilarious that he passed LeBron James on the all-time three-point list this week. I just think that's great.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not looking back either.
I saw the thing. He has 90 three-pointers already.
He's like
crazy.
More than doubling anybody else, right?
Yeah. We're like a fifth of the way through the season or something.
Yeah.
This guy's insane.
So speaking of that, the Golden State Warriors, they got the record for best start to a season, beating the LA Lakers. These guys are amazing. And there's, of course, there's talk to see if they can beat this 72-win Bulls team. There is another side of the spectrum, though. The Philadelphia 76ers this week became the first team in American professional sports to lose 27 straight games, reaching back to last season, guys. Mm. To me, I think this proves the system works. But, Jason, what do you think about this?
I think that, yeah, Sam Hinkie's plan is doing exactly what he thought it would do. They're losing ball games, which is what they're designed to do. The frustrating thing is, Joey, as you said, is they're coming up with new and creative ways to lose ball games. I mean, they had two games this week where they were up by 9 in the fourth quarter and obviously failed to seal the deal there. Much like me at a bar.
Ladies.
Yeah, I was bummed I missed last week's show because I didn't get a chance to go off on just the absolute absurdity that is the 76ers. And they're terrible, and that's been covered. But I feel like Brett Brown still gets credit for not being a terrible coach because he fell off the pop tree. It's time to start blaming that guy for losing some games. You got to be able to do something.
Well, they have everybody, every single player on their roster, save one, is in the first 3 years. They're all in the rookie deals. I think six of them were undrafted. He's got nothing to work with.
Well, no, so this is my problem with this stat, though, Joey, is that the 27 games goes back to the previous year. I mean, can all these undrafted rookies really claim the 10 losses from the year before? Why don't you give them the chance to lose 27 in a row in their own season?
I'm not stopping them. I'm giving the opportunity. This season, you know, there's plenty of time this season for them to make their own terrible streaks.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like anybody's in a big hurry to stop them from achieving the greatness that they're destined for.
Goodness.
Right. So what are they now? As we record this today, they are 0-17. And yep. The record for the worst start to a season is 0-19. Is that correct? I think that's right. So they're two losses away from that. But they get to play the Lakers this week, so things are looking up.
Yeah, although it would be interesting if they did lose to the Lakers. The Lakers would be responsible for being the team beat by the team that got the best start in NBA history. And if they get the win, they'll also be the team that hands somebody the longest losing streak to begin the season. It's interesting. Just nice consistency in the NBA this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, two games were played this week.
Oh, yeah, go ahead whenever you want. That's the sound of the not all that fast break.
First one, Pacers travel to Washington, D.C., and they visited with the doctor. Pacers win this one 123-106. This game was a little bit different than most of the games that I've ever seen. Jason, what did you see from your seat?
Well, I mean, I think that whatever words I had with CJ Miles and Paul George at our dinner the night before, I mean, I just had a couple tips on, you know, follow through, breathe, you know, just breathe. And they took it to heart and they just killed it. I mean, they came out on fire and just made a ton of shots and they just kept doing that. And it was fun to watch.
This was so fun. Just a freaking shooting gallery out there. CJ Miles, what, had 4 or 5 three-pointers in the first quarter?
Something like that. He was 8 of 9 on the game.
Yeah.
Like, just could not miss.
All types of stats were broken, right? Was this the most three-pointers hit by a Pacer team ever? Mm-hmm. And then was this the most combined three-pointers by two players ever, like, tied a record or something like that, at that percentage, maybe? I don't know. There were a ton of – we just shattered a bunch of three-point shooting records.
I think my favorite stat from this game that was Paul George and Solomon Hill combined to go 7 of 8.
Yeah, no. So this is a chance for me to see these guys in person, right, for the first time this season, and they were impressive. I mean, I think that the thing that I came away from it with is that Paul George is really good, right? Which we kind of knew. He went for 40 in this game, but more so, he is bigger and stronger in person than I had realized from watching on TV. Like, I mean, I think I knew that he was a bit stronger than the season before he got hurt, but just in person, you can really see that he's like in total control and just huge. Like, defensively, he takes up so much space on one of those wing defender guys. Like, he just blocks off half the court, basically. Like, you're just not going to use that side of the court.
Yeah. Which is why John Wall had 8 turnovers.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and I thought it was interesting they put him on Bradley Beal for much of the game, actually. So he's guarding the 2 position, mm-hmm. I guess, and doing a really good job of chasing Beal around those screens and making life difficult for him, too.
Yeah, he goes 9 of 22. Did not have a good game. And that's been our strategy much of the year has been to put Paul George on the perimeter guy and then switch CJ Miles onto the opposing team's 4 and see if anybody can do anything with it. And Washington couldn't do much with it.
Yeah, so much for Paul George at 4, right? I mean, did anybody talk to CJ Miles in the offseason about how he's going to be our new power forward? Or did we just make him do it because Paul George didn't want to?
I think the latter is. But he's, I mean, to his credit, he's doing a great job.
Oh, no, exactly. It's been fantastic.
We've touched on it quite a bit this year, but not only offense. I mean, this game offensively, actually the last 3 games or so offensively have been incredible. He's been over 20 points a game. But defensively, he does a good job of sort of holding his own in the posts. You know, like, I mean, his challenge wasn't that great in this game. It was Chris Humphreys. But he did a good job there, right?
Right. Well, we're doing a really good job also of, you know, recognizing when they're trying to get low post feeds and bringing that double immediately. I mean, quick enough that not only does the shot not go up, but he's not getting banged around a whole heck of a lot most of the time. And we're converting that into turnovers. So defensively, the scheme is working. Now, is it going to work against a Blake Griffin? Probably not so much. But every time we meet Chris Humphreys, it'll work just fine.
Perfect. At least 4 times a year. We're good.
But, I mean, we haven't had trouble game playing in on 4s, and we've done a really good job so far this year.
Yeah, this game, it was also nice to see George Hill was back for the first time in a few games. He played 32 minutes after that upper respiratory ailment, I guess you would say. And he played quite well.
It looked really good against Wall.
Mm-hmm.
George Hill?
So, yeah. Yeah, George Hill, you've heard of him? He went to the Prodigy.
I don't think he was in the show. Okay, all right, cool. You're right. Yeah.
You've got 3 Hills, and they all played.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm in the wrong box score, apparently. I apologize.
We're not supposed to question John Colson.
I'm always right. No, well, I apologize. Go ahead.
No, I thought he did a great job on Wall. A couple notes from in the arena sort of stuff that probably didn't come through on the broadcast. So the first thing on the Wizards side, towards the end of the game, it was a bit of a blowout. You know, the Wizards tried to rally, but then Randy Whitman kind of threw in the white towel, as it were, with about 2 minutes left. And it's a little quiet in the arena, you know, and one of the fans yells out, I think Wall might have been at the free throw line or something, and he was like, missed the free throw, and he's like, oh, come on, John Wall, when are you going to start playing like an MVP? And it was like murmurs throughout the crowd. They're like, yeah, when is he going to start playing like an MVP? It's weird. So that was kind of awkward. But the thing that I really took away from this, you know, I like to watch sort of inter-team dynamics or whatever, right? And we, in the offseason, had a lot of consternation about whether or not Paul George was going to be a good leader for this team. And, I mean, it's early. The returns are early. But it's clear that he is the leader of that team from watching their sort of interactions and whatnot. And sort of the vibe that he set is one of very, it's kind of loose. It's a very loose attitude, I guess, at some level. But, like, enjoying playing the game is the sense that I got. Like, mm-hmm. like during you know, the pregame layups, people are out there just kind of doing their thing. And then Paul George was the last one to come out. And, like, as soon as he got out there, you kind of, all the other guys kind of picked up their intensity. Or, like, they're like, started getting excited about playing basketball. Like, because he just came out and was like, yeah, all right. You know, he's, like, shaking hands with John Wall and, like, doing his thing. He's like, yeah, let's go. Let's do this. Like, he just has a really good, you know, energy about him. And I think it's really infectious to the rest of the guys.
Sure. I think it was after the Bulls game. He did the post-game interview. And it really didn't seem like he was having fun. I wanted him to say the stuff that it, you know, take the Steph Curry thing, like, oh, we're out here having fun. And they were asking him about having fun playing the game. He was like, no, this is about winning, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
And I don't want to say it felt disingenuous, but, I mean, watching him, it does seem like they're having quite a bit of fun. And I think that everyone seems to be playing a lot more free this year. And mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that definitely some of that is having Paul George. I mean, it's fun to play when you're winning, too. I think the new system is good for guys. This is exciting stuff to watch. And you got to think it's as much fun to be a part of if it's as fun to watch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there just seemed to be a lighter sort of attitude about the team compared to the previous incarnations of this team that I've seen in person, right?
And is that a function of lower expectations for the team, do you think? Or is that a function of less Roy Hibbert on the team and David West?
Potentially a combination of both. I mean, I think overall it's a younger squad, so there's a bit more energy there. But yeah, I mean, I remember going to games and David West would start, and as soon as he would check out, he would just walk to the end of the bench and just sit there, right? And, like, there's no guy on the team that does that anymore. You know, there's no, like,
right.
You know, loner dude. And Roy Hibbert notoriously was, like, kind of a loner guy or whatever. Yeah. So
He literally has never looked like he's having fun playing basketball ever. Another game over 100 points, 123 in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're on fire.
So, Joe, I want to do a better job. I know you're the stat guy, but I want to do a better job than I did earlier with the three-point stats. We hit 19 three-pointers, which was a franchise record. It's also – we shot 73% from distance, which is the best all-time by a team that took at least 25 threes.
And 73%.
Yeah. And Paul George and C.J. Miles are the first teammates to both hit at least 7 three-pointers since J.R. Smith and Steve Novak did it in 2011 for the Knicks. It's not bad.
The Pacers did have one more game this week. Take on the Bulls, Friday, November 27th. This is at home. Pacers take this one, 104-92. Again, their offense is clicking here. Two quarters of 30 or more points. They take down the Bulls, which they had narrowly lost to recently. They've won 10 out of 12 now. These guys actually seem to be the best team in basketball. I'm just kidding. the Pacers look great right now. So Harper, what did you see from this Bulls game?
I saw what I expected. I thought that unfortunately I missed last week's pod where we got to talk about the previous Bulls game. We're a better team right now than they are.
Mm.
We barely lost to them on the road. I was pretty confident that we'd take care of business at home. They're a tough team and they played us tough for, you know, 48 minutes for sure. But we're one of the hottest teams in the NBA. We've won, including this game, I think 10 to 12. We did a really good job on their big three and Gasol, Rose, and Butler, who combined for 12 of 42. Nikola Mirotic was really the only guy out there who was taking advantage of us, again, at that four matchup. But because he stretches the floor so well, really a tough guard for us. But more Paul George, and dumps in another 33. Monte Ellis, very aggressive in this game, getting to the rack. We look good. We look really good.
Yeah, I love how comfortable it felt.
You weren't scared?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was just, we was pretty much wire to wire. We had just comfortable margin and just playing well, executing, playing defense. I was impressed how dominant a win this felt. I mean, we didn't, you know, we won by almost 20, but we were up, you know, most of the game comfortably. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we did well was something that you touched on last week, Colson, was we came out with energy to start the game and jumped on him right away, right? Which was key. I mean, it was their fourth consecutive road game, although they had several days rest, so that shouldn't be an excuse for them, but still. The other thing that really impressed me about this game was that we won it in a completely different way than we did the game prior, right?
Mm.
So the game before, we talked about, you know, we hit a team record 19 threes, shot 75% from three-point range. This game, we hit a season low, 8 three-pointers, and shot only 28%, 29% from the three-point range, but did all the other things, like got to the line.
21 fast break points.
Yeah, forced a bunch of turnovers. I guess not a bunch of turnovers, only 15, but yeah, got out, out-rebounded them, 51-47 for a team that has way many more bigs than we do. That's just effort, right?
Well, and just and to mention that, Jordan Hill was out with a lower back injury, and so you basically only had Jan Mahimny and Lavoy Allen as your two legitimate bigs. And shout out to Lavoy Allen, a nice double-double filling in with that. He's not really – Jordan Hill's been getting more of the minutes, and I thought Lavoy Allen did what he could to show Vogel that he's ready for more.
Player of this game, though, guys, was Solomon Hill.
Yes.
I mean, Solomon Hill changed this game. Late in the third quarter, the Bulls had scratched and clawed their way to within 4 points, and the Pacers were kind of discombobulated. It looked like we couldn't really get anything going. And all of a sudden, Frank Vogel scratches his head, looks down the bench, and says, "That guy that never plays, you get in the ball game." And Solomon Hill came in right away, got an assist, and then played great defense on Taj Gibson on the next possession, forcing him into a tough shot, got the rebound, and started a fast break. Pacers closed the quarter on a 6-1 run and are up by 13 early in the fourth quarter. Again, Solomon Hill. What the hell?
I will give an assist there, though, to Freddie Hoiberg, who, when we brought in Hill, yanked Mirotić.
Mm.
And brought in Taj Gibson, apparently in response.
I guess.
I don't know what the thinking was. Mirotić was the only guy out there for him, and you don't get to rest when you're on the – you know, that's certainly something that his predecessor wouldn't have done.
Sure.
But, I mean, Solo, he really does give quality minutes there. Really rode him a lot longer than I thought we were going to. I was getting a little bit nervous when he was still in there in the fourth.
Sure.
But did a really good – did a good job closing out the game all around. Like I said, Monte Ellis, really aggressive to the rim. We ended up with 42 in the paint against a team with a bunch of shot blockers. You're right. This was a different kind of win offensively. But what was so nice about it is, you know, we had cold jump shooters, as they did in the first half, really. But we recognized that. Somebody coached, told them to go to the rack. We did. And it worked.
The other thing was Hoiberg, and maybe another brilliant coaching move, went to the Hakayan, Yakayan, Molesta Mahinmi. I was trying to come up with a better term for this. Sent Jan Mahinmi shooting 20% on the year to the line. He missed his first two, but then proceeded to hit 7 of his next 8, basically putting the game on ice and out of reach. I think he's climbing towards that 45% mark, Joey.
That's right.
He predicted.
That's right.
He is. Yeah. No, just, he iced this game.
Yeah.
He really iced this game from the line. It was amazing. And what was really great about it, I was actually thinking earlier in the week, I was like, you know what, we should just scrap his shooting motion altogether and just have him take like a mini jump shot. Because you're allowed to jump as long as you don't cross the line, right? I was like, just have this guy do something completely different. But he actually looked – after those first two – he looked pretty confident knocking those things down.
Yeah, he said he got some good advice from Monte Ellis, who said, just breathe and follow through. And it worked.
Yeah.
think that was the advice you gave to Monta, right?
Hey, great minds think alike.
We have one more topic to talk about today. Just came out. Kobe Bryant officially retiring from basketball at the end of the season. This season, not too kind. Numbers-wise, he's shooting about 31%, 15, 16 points a game. He's slowing down. Body can't keep up. So this is his last year. You know, he's, you know, one of the greatest of all time. Lots of rings, storied career, crazy competitor, all those things. This is last season. So, Colson, what do you think about Kobe retiring? Do you think it's time or?
Well, yeah. I mean, we all
would like to see him Would you like to see him sit at the end of a bench and you know, and help help the young guys like Kevin Garnett's doing?
Well, we all sort of saw this coming. I mean, it's clear that he's kind of – the age has caught up with him, and he's not able to do what he was used to be able to do. And I think for him that's probably incredibly frustrating, and it maybe took him a while for him to figure out that he's not the same person he was when he was 25. His body's not reacting the same way that it used to. He's been in the league for 20 years. He did a nice a goodbye letter or a thank you letter to basketball, and said, his heart can take the pounding, and his mind can handle the grind, but his body knows that it's time to say goodbye, which is kind of nice. It's clear on the court, and he's had a fantastic career. But he should, I'm with you, Joey, probably be trying to help some of the young kids as opposed to chucking up the rock. Maybe go out with some grace, and, he's going to go down as one of the greats.
Did his body really know, or did the Warriors just break him?
His body was told.
Yeah. I mean, this is the game where the Warriors break the streak for the best record to begin a season happens against the Lakers. It's one of those things that in the past Kobe would have really stepped up for and had a great game and scored 35.
Agreed.
Instead, he goes 1 of 14 and has a negative 20 plus minus. They get blown out of the building by 34. I mean, to that's a moment, right? I mean, if you can't get it done there, yeah, it's time to hang up the cleats.
Well, it's bad news for a lot of the NBA because the Warriors are going to do that to a lot of teams. So it's all of a sudden, I don't know, Jimmy Butler gets blown out by the Warriors and be like, I can't hang with these guys. I'm gonna hang it up.
Why bother?
Not that it matters anyway.
Yeah, Kobe definitely, I mean, one of my favorite guys to root against in my lifetime, right? I mean, we've seen this guy. I mean, he's literally our age, right? So he's been a part of our lives for a long time in the NBA. And, we'll go down as, like you said, one of the greats. I mean, he's top 10-ish overall, right? Mm-hmm. In that conversation with one of the greatest Lakers of all time. 5 rings. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good career.
Very good career. And it's great that he took, Jason, your advice, and now he has a chance to do his farewell tour and get his rocking chair in opposing arenas. So, it's nice to, hopefully be able to go out with some grace here and enjoy the end of what has been, a really historic career. And he does have a lot to give these kids, and maybe, a little bit less pressure on him to throw up 30 or 40 every night will help him be a better mentor to these kids and help turn around an organization that really needs some help.
He's currently averaging more field goal points, field goal attempts than points, which is not normally good for efficiency.
No. Neither is shooting 19.5% from 3-point range and hoisting up 7 of those suckers a game. Like, that's just not smart.
You know what? He may actually be helping the Lakers by losing all these things, right? Because they have a draft pick that's top three protected. And if it falls outside of that, it goes to what? Boston or New Jersey or somewhere. It goes away. So if he can keep chucking up the basketball and helping his team lose, he might actually be helping the franchise in the future.
Yeah, they may want to play him 48 minutes a night just to help out.
Just to guarantee that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, though, that as much as I hate Kobe Bryant, I and all Pacer fans kind of owe him a thank you, in a way. He was Paul George's favorite player growing up, and basically Paul George's work ethic now is a direct result of stories that he heard from Brian Shaw about Kobe Bryant. And he, I think, in a larger NBA sense, I think influenced the current generation of players with that work ethic. You know, there's these stories of guys playing for Team USA and going and just seeing firsthand how Kobe conducted himself and in the way in which he prepared for games and stuff. And they were like, holy crap. This dude does this every day? I guess I should step up my game, right? And we're in a land of riches in the NBA, talent-wise, right now. In a large part, I think, due to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking earlier this week how, you know, when Paul George came into this league, not a three-point shooter.
Mm-mm.
At all. That's all work ethic. And it used to be that guys could get to the rim and, you know, attack above the rim the way that he does, didn't develop that shooting range. And Kobe has made that a necessity if you want to be an all-star in this league. Or a superstar, I guess. Shout out Kobe.
I'm not comfortable with that. He's still the guy that murdered us in the overtime in game three in the finals. Like, I can never love Kobe. He, just because he's old and he's leaving, I mean, whatever. One of the great foes is, whatever. Great career, Kobe. Suck it.
He did break our hearts. That's true.
Well put, my friend.
Well, that about takes us out for the show. Jason, what games we got coming up this week?
Well, actually, in about 30 minutes, we're going to play at the Los Angeles Lakers. So we'll get to see Kobe in his first game of the farewell tour. I hope the boys bought him a rocking chair. But the Pacers actually are starting a four-game West Coast swing. So Harper's going to actually get to watch games at a regular time. It's going to be nice for him. The rest of us will be sleep-deprived. So we play the Lakers tonight, or yesterday as you're hearing this. Wednesday, December 2nd, we play the Los Angeles Clippers. Thursday, December 3rd at Portland, and Saturday, December 5th at Utah Jazz. Harper, are you going to make the drive to Portland?
It's on a Thursday and it's about a 2-hour drive. Fortunately.
Bummer.
Probably not, but maybe. I don't know. I might be able to work something out.
No, just go to Utah. That'll be all right.
No. Harper does not travel to Utah.
Is that by choice, or are there guards at the Utah border that are just like, hey, no?
Just mutual agreement.
Sure.
Mutual pact of self-assured destruction. What do you got this week, Jason?
For game of the week? I mean, it's the Clippers, right? I mean, that's probably the best team we've played so far. Or will be a very nice... That's the toughest test, I think, on this road
It will
trip.
Be up until that point.
Yep. Yep.
Then the next day, the best team that we play.
And yes, we know we've played the Bulls.
Burn.
Coulson, you got a prediction?
For the Clippers game? Or for the road trip overall?
Either or. Take a pick.
I'm going to say we beat the Clippers, but we lose to Utah, and we end up with a 3-1 on the road trip.
It's not a bad road trip. I'd take that.
Not bad at all. Clippers, we beat them 107-102.
Okay. It's very precise.
That'll be a real test if we're going to stick to the small ball thing, I think, too, because the Clippers start Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. And I imagine that Vogel will counter and start Jordan Hill and or LaVoie Allen.
If they're available.
If they're available. We might need to get Jordan Hill healthy by that game. I think we'll need some more big bodies.
No, LaVoie's just going to dominate. Nice article in the Star this week by Candace Buckner about LaVoie Allen. He's currently leading the team in plus minus. And so just a little feature on him. And, you know, the team apparently understands his value, even though he's not playing big minutes. And there's a nice thing about they make a joke about him. He's the most interesting man in the world, like the Dos Equis guy. And it's worth a read. So check it out.
Until next time, you can find us. Really, it's I think, John Colson's second home, Twitter. you can find us on Facebook.com/TheUnbeatables. Our website is theunbeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us a message. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. We have t-shirts for sale on the website, /store.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard, turn out the lights. The party's over. So, good news, Joey. They're making a movie of the Christmas Addicts Tigers from the 50s.
So you got the link I sent you?
I did. I'm super excited.
Yeah. It's coming out next year. It's going to be on through PBS. I think through WFYI.
It's the same guy that did the Slick documentary, I think.
Yeah, we'll have the movie that you so desperately
wanted. Once we have the movie, then we can have the jerseys, right? That was your argument. Now we got the movie.
Here's the thing I'm a little worried about is I feel like PBS might be a little less aggressive than MGM with the marketing.
I think you're discounting PBS.
This is not exactly – I mean, we need a fictionalized version of the Christmas Attic story.
A PBS documentary doesn't quite hold the same emotional weight as Hoosiers.
Right.
I don't think.
My team is on the floor.
See, these are the inaccuracies that I'm looking for in a movie. The drunk French coach.
He's Freshen.
Freshen.
He's chasing freshies. He's freshing.